Jy luister na RSG Geldsaake met Moneyweb Potgoede met gasheer Ryk van die Kerk. Vir die belangrikste sake nuus, skakel in op RSG Geldsaake.
Magda Verzitska is die stichter en uitvoerende hoof van Signia hier in Suid-Afrika en word algemeen beskou as die rykste vrou in die land. Sy woon egter tans in Londen en is besig met 'n taamlike vurige veldtog oor die jongste veranderings aan belasting, wetgewing en regulasies in Brittanje. En dit handel grootliks oor die afskaffing van die sogenaamde nom-dom status en dit is 'n belastingkategorie vir mense wat in Brittanje woon, maar 'n baie groot deel van hulle inkomste in 'n ander land verdien en in daardie land belasting betaal. Nou die Britte het nou hierdie vergunning geskrap en die non-doms moet nou belasting in Brittanje op al hulle inkomste betaal. Hulle moet ook boedelbelasting van 40% betaal sou hulle sterf op hulle volle welvaart. En Magda, soos baie ander non-doms, is baie ongelukkig oor die veranderings en sy sê as die Britse regering dit nie terugtrek nie, gaan sy haar tasse pak en terugkeer Suid-Afrika toe. Magda, thank you so much for making time for us. I know you're in Madrid, and it's always lovely to talk to you, but it's always interesting to hear when billionaires complain about tax. What is going on here? What is the context of these tax changes?
Right. I mean, let me just say one thing, because there's, you know, a lot being made of me coming back to South Africa. I spent 6 months of my year in South Africa, 6 months in the UK. I pay all my taxes in South Africa that I on any earnings in South Africa, and I pay taxes in the UK on any taxes on any money that I earn in the UK. So I just want to make it clear that, you know, this whole resident non-dom status is not about tax avoidance, as, you know, people seem to think. Now, you know, UK had for 200 years a system where if you came to the UK for the first 15 years, you didn't have to pay tax on your outside of UK earnings. So in my case, South African earnings. When the Tories government and then Labour government kind of one came in, they basically eliminated that resident non-dom system, basically saying that irrespective of whether you have paid taxes, in my case in South Africa, I will still be taxed on certain of my income that I've already been taxed on in South Africa. And then when you look at the UK in the context of global taxation, it is one of the highest tax jurisdictions in the world. So just an example, you know, in South Africa, we've got our corporate tax rate 27%, dividend tax rate 20%. UK, corporate tax rate 25%, dividend withholding tax almost 40%. So, you know, if you're an entrepreneur, you run a company, there is 65% tax that stands between the profits you have made and the money that actually lands in your bank account. So, you know, as a consequence, people looking at this, and of course, there is a lot more to this than just what I'm talking about, you know, this double taxation, double taxation issues. There is also for people like South Africans, for people who come from India, you know, we faced with foreign exchange controls. So as I speak to you, if I was to have a stroke right now, as I'm talking to you, my entire estate in South Africa would be taxed at 40% inheritance tax, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
How would I pay it? Because first of all, as you know, most of my wealth is tied up in Signia shares. So my children would have to sell Signia shares to settle the 40% bill. Now you find a buyer at, you know, 40% or half of my almost shareholding in Signia. And if you do, you're going to do it at a deep discount. Even if you get the cash out of that sale, how do you move it out of South Africa? Because I would like to have a conversation with the Reserve Bank about how easy it would be for my children to move that money out of South Africa to settle the inheritance tax. So, you know, you're looking at this taxation story. And, right, since they introduced it just over a year ago, between 15 to 17,000 pound millionaires, not billionaires, millionaires, have left the UK. That's basically the entire, you know, that's a huge taxpayer base. And almost every entrepreneur I know is leaving UK. So what's the attraction? The weather is terrible. The economy is going downhill. Lower, GDP growth rate than we're going to have this year. So you really have to look at it as a business person and an entrepreneur like myself and say there is nothing attractive about being double taxed. And then, for all of us, we all have homes. It's not about going to one of those tax havens, Italy, Greece, UAE, Switzerland. Most people are looking at it and going, I am going home. I came to UK from somewhere, and I've got the option of returning back home where I've got family, where I have friends. And so, people are leaving. As we speak, people are leaving.
Yeah, I've seen graphs in various publications today where you just see these non-doms. There is definitely an outflow. But I think many people, if they don't know your history, because you will understand the magnitude of what you have achieved. And for the British to take it is, I think, you need to see it in that perspective. You arrived in South Africa in 1981 and your family had $500. And you started from scratch and you built Signia from scratch. And I think that
Correct.
is the, you've built your wealth through your own hard work. And I would also be, and I think most people would be very upset if they are confronted with this scenario. What is the reaction been from non-doms? Oh, I know it's been aggressive, but what are they doing? Is there any way that they can turn around these changes?
It's a very difficult question because, you have seen me in the media in the UK. And I don't want to be funny about it, but I think I'm being used as a little bit of a face of lobbying government. And the reason is, I don't look like a fat cat, 70-year-old man with a trust fund. But I'm also, as I'm willing to speak out, which, many people, particularly very wealthy people, are not willing to do. So there's a lot of effort that has gone into lobbying government in order to, reverse this very much in the context of what it is doing to the economy. And in fact, the theme that we've been lobbying under, there is a lobbying group, which, by the way, used to be 1,000 people. I think you can't get 10 people in the room a year later. But the point of view is that inheritance tax in the UK raises, I think it's £9 billion in terms of the annual revenue. It is nothing. It's a drop in the ocean. So what we are actually lobbying for is not look. For, when I say we. Because, technically I'm coming back to South Africa. But what we have been lobbying for is abolishment, complete abolishment of inheritance tax in the UK for everybody. Because it's not only, because, the inheritance tax is the major issue. It's not a dividend tax. It's not even double taxing because there are various, double taxation treaties in place. But it's the inheritance tax. It's the fact that 40% of your assets are taxed immediately. So, what we've been lobbying for, trying to lobby Labour government for, is a complete abolishment of inheritance tax for every British person, because it's not only, the rich people that are, hurt by these changes. But, so far, nothing has changed.
Are you taxed in South Africa on your UK earnings?
No, I'm taxed in South Africa on my South African earnings. So whatever salary I would receive, dividends that I receive, obviously the corporate tax rate within Signia that we pay. In the UK, I am taxed on the salary that I make in the UK.
How big is your business in the UK? It's a venture capital business. How significant is it?
So, I started the business with a partner in 2019. So, we have a good almost, six-year track record. And, I raised about £500 million for investment in basically startup companies, entrepreneurship-driven companies, because as you can appreciate, I do have a bit of a affiliation for entrepreneurship and founders of businesses. And we invested that money in small startup businesses. And some of them, you know, have been very successful. And in fact, one of them, where we were the second largest investor and supporter of that business, was a teeny tiny company started by two guys, incredibly bright, dealing in manufacturing of quantum chips for quantum computers. And that company, you know, 6 years into existence, also started 2019, was just sold for $1 billion to a US company, literally 2 weeks ago. So, you know, there are opportunities in the UK to make money for investors, because of course, you know, we raise the money from investors and invest it. So there's huge potential to commercialize the IP that comes out of universities like Oxford, Cambridge. Mm. I mean, some of the best research is sitting there. But, you know, if you are discouraging people such as myself from investing in those kind of investments in the UK, well, then you are basically killing your own innovation. You know, you're scoring your own goal. And then there's just one little point, right? I know, you know, I talk for too much. But one little point that, you know, I'm trying to make to UK government is that forget about the people who are leaving. They're leaving or they have left. How about the people that are not going to come to the UK? Because there's another, you know, flip side to the coin. It's not just those that are leaving. It's those that would have come and set up businesses who are not coming.
Yeah, that's a massive opportunity cost, which is not always quantified. Just lastly, Signia here in South Africa has launched a Bitcoin exchange-traded fund, ETF, and it's the first one in South Africa. Tell us about this fund.
So it's not an ETF. It's basically a fund that is launched by Signia as a, you know, I mean, technically speaking, a pooled portfolio, but you can access it via an endowment policy. ETFs are still not allowed by the JSE. Mm-hmm. You know, I tried to list a Bitcoin ETF on the JSE in 2017. I came very close, within a hairbreadth of doing it. I suspect, you know, the JSE might be double the size of it if we were the first country to launch a Bitcoin ETF, but be it as it may. You know, in 2022, FSCA actually made crypto a financial product, which was a major step in at least legitimizing, you know, investment in Bitcoin. It's still not allowed under Regulation 28, so you can't invest your retirement annuity into it. But there is a huge and active market in ETFs, in Bitcoin. You know, Bitcoin is the largest crypto asset by market cap. It's $1.6 trillion. This is not some small asset class that you are investing in. You know, there are all the various, you know, positives, the scarcity of supply, the fact that Donald Trump just made it part of his established a strategic Bitcoin reserve, which, you know, talks to future price appreciation. So all we want to do, and let me preamble this by saying this is a highly volatile, speculative, high-risk investment. But, you know, I do believe that there is a place for certain people to invest in Bitcoin, not on a speculative basis like they do on Bitcoin exchanges or crypto exchanges where you're trading, you know, day by day. That's not the product. The product has basically been launched for savers who want to have small exposure in their diversified portfolios to Bitcoin. Small. I think on our fun fact sheets, we say 5%. With huge amount of you know, disclaimers about risk. But given the size of this asset class, given where it is heading in terms of, you know, internationally, and I think, you know, the JSE will permit a listing of an official ETF not long, you know, from now. I do believe that for those that understand this asset class, there is a space for it in a well-diversified portfolio. And hence the Signia Bitcoin Plus Fund that we have just launched. We like to be at the forefront of innovation.
Well, you certainly are. Well, we'll have to leave it there, but, you know, there's an Afrikaans saying, die een se dood is die ander se brood. So if the UK chases you away, we are going to welcome you in South Africa for the full 12 months of the year, and hopefully you can spin your magic here as well.
I'm coming back according to my tax advisors. Not that my taxes are that complicated, but I'll be back before the end of July.
Magda, baie dankie vir jou tyd. Dit was Magda Wersitska. Sy is die stichter en uitvoerende hoof van Signia. Driekus, interessante scenario wat homself uitspeel, en ek is bly sy maak haar stem dik.
Ja, Ryk, soos hy sê, 17,000 individue, gewone deka, bond, miljonairs, wat al reeds die VK verlaat het, of is besig om te verlaat, ek ken van hulle, en hulle het hulle frustrasie persoonlik met my gedeel, en van hulle is op pad terug Suid-Afrika toe, en gaan die volle 12 maanden, soos hy sê, wel, tenminste kom ons sê 11 van die 12 maanden hier spandeer. Ek dink die Stammer regering is besig om die VK's ekonomie te reuneer.
Ja, wel, ons het nie een monopolie daar op nie. net laatstens die crypto fonds wat hulle bekend gestel het, innoverende nuwe fonds, en hoe sien jy dit?
Ja, ek stem saam met dat as 'n plek in 'n ouse portefeulje vir Bitcoin, of vir crypto oor die algemeen. Te groot te ignoreer die aard van die saak. Ek dink dit is bietjie teenstrydig met die oorspronklike doel van crypto. Die oorspronklike doel was om 'n bate te hou of 'n ruilmiddel buite kan die finansiële stelsel, vir verskeie redes, goeie en slegte redes. En dit maak daai doel so bietjie ongedaan, hè. Nou sê jy ewesklik die deel van die finansiële stelsel. Nou moet jy hoop daar's genoeg ander ouens wat crypto wil besit en verhandel buite kan die finansiële stelsel sodat jou waarde gaan opgaan. Dit is die nommer 1 doel van crypto, sonder dit het hy nie veel van 'n bestaansreg nie. So bietjie teenstrydig met sy oorspronklike doel, maar daar is plek daarvoor in die finansiële stelsel en ek verkies dit om eerder dan crypto direk in die buitenland te besit. Baie belangrike rede daarvoor, dit is goedkoper om dit so te doen, nee, nommer 1 en nommer 2 vir belastingredes, enige bate wat jy in die buitenland hou, gaan jy net op daai kapitaalwins wat jy maak in harde geldeenheid terme, met ander woorde in dollar terme byvoorbeeld, gaan jy net daar belas word die dag gesê, realiseer en nie ook op die winste wat jy op die verswakking in die rand gemaak het nie.
Jy het geluister na RSG Geldsaake met Moneyweb Potgoeie elke weeksdag om 7 na middag. Vir meer Moneyweb Potgoeie besoek moneyweb.co.za of laai die toepassing af en volg Moneyweb News om dagliks op hoogte te bly.